Hello, my friends. This is Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Orange County, California. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good morning.
Good. So as you notice, we got a new frame up here, and that is because I want to bring your attention to the CaliforniaParentAlliance.org. CaliforniaParentAlliance.org. Go on there, and on the right-hand side of the page, subscribe, because some news should be coming out of that organization that affects us and those of you that are in Orange County or any of you that are in California, but go there. We'll be coming back with some news probably fairly soon to share with you, but go there and be prepared for the good news that's coming out of the California Parent Alliance.
Sign up for the newsletter.
And parents are not terrorists. Right.
That was. I mean, some parents may be terrorists, but we're not terrorists.
No. And we do have the right to know what's going on in our schools and have a right to affect what's being taught in our children in schools.
Yes.
We do have that right. Not like the nitwit in Virginia. The governor of Virginia says parents don't have a role in the public schools.
Wow.
According to him.
Other than providing the bodies for
and the
which
money.
They teach.
Yeah, the bodies and the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we need from you. We don't want your opinions. We don't care what
you
want.
You know, opinions are like.
Yes. That's good. Look at you, full of that and vinegar. All right. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth Devotional. Get the book so that you can follow along when you're not able to stick with us on one of our videos, our live videos, or on the podcast. But we are on the Edify Christian Network podcast. And we are very, very proud. We'll show you how to do that at the conclusion of the devotional. All right. So let's read. Where'd it go? I moved it. There it is. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth, like I said, October 15th. The name of the devotional for today is Spiritual Warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4 is the reference that he uses at the top. And it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds."
Amen.
Oh, that's so good. The scripture reading is the entire book of 2 Corinthians.
It's good to read.
Yeah. Get it done today. It's only 13 chapters. You can do it. You can knock it out. Do it today. Smith says, people ask, do all speak with tongues? Certainly not. But all people may speak as the Spirit gives utterance, as in the upper room and at the house of Cornelius and at Ephesus with Jesus, followers were filled with the Holy Spirit. There is quite a difference between having a gift and speaking as the Spirit gives utterance. If I had been given the gift of tongues when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, then I could have spoken in tongues at any time. Because gifts and calling remain, period. But I couldn't speak in tongues after I was baptized. Why? It was because I had received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but I had not received the gift of tongues. However, I received the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of all gifts. And 9 months afterward, God gave me the gift of tongues so that I could speak in tongues at any time. But do I? God forbid. Why? Because no man ought to use a gift. The Holy Spirit uses the gift. Mm. I have a reason for talking like this. People come up to me all the time and say, I have been prayed for and I am just the same. It is enough to make you kick them. I don't mean that literally. I would be the last man to kick anybody in this place. God forbid. But if I can get you enraged against the powers of darkness and the powers of disease, if I can wake you up, you won't go to bed unless you prove that there is a master in you who is greater than the power that is hanging around you. Many times I have gone to a house in which an insane person lived and have been shut in with him or in order to deliver him. I have gone in determined that he would be delivered in the middle of the night, chiefly sometimes in the middle of the day. The demon powers would come and bite me and handle me terribly rough, but I never gave in. It would dethrone a higher principle if I had to give in. May the God of grace and mercy strengthen us. In the measure that we destroy these evil powers, we make it easier for weak believers. For every time Satan overcomes a saint, it gives him ferocity for another attack. But when he is subdued, he will come to the place where defeat is written against him. In your home, with your spouse and children, you will have audacity of determination, along with a righteous indignation against the power of disease to cast it out. That is worth more to you than anything you could buy. Thought for today, no one can have a knowledge of an inward Christ without having a longing that there will be an increase of souls saved. You know, I got the feeling, now this is the second time we've read this, I get the feeling, my feeling is I could use this earlier. And you know how we have computers today, right? And so we keep all of our files on there. And I'm just picturing that in Smith's day, he didn't have that. Mm-mm. He had them all like written on a piece of paper, and I can see him on the floor with his wife maybe, and they have all the chapters kind of laid out, and he's putting them, this one belongs here, this one belongs here. And then I have the feeling that somebody opened a door and wind came in and blew this one further down.
Wow, that's a really elaborate theory.
And then he went and put them all in thinking that was where it was supposed to go, when in fact it should have been before, the first one before he spoke all about the tongues. So it feels like it's out of order to me.
Really?
It's not that I didn't get anything out of it. I could have used this and could have used the discussion where he then begins to go into deeper discussion about tongues. Hmm. And in our research that we went into, it would have, I think, would have made a little bit more sense because it's a little wonky.
Yeah.
A little wonky. What comes out to this from this devotional for you?
I love the intensity for which Pentecostals believe in the miraculous, and basically they have a real passion for and a conviction about the power of Christ within you, healing the sick, curing the lame, casting out demons. And I love the way he describes that, where he would shut himself in with an insane person and only one of them would come out, you know, he was so determined, even when he would be harmed by them, because they would harm him to see whether he'd give up or not. Mm-hmm. But, he wouldn't give up and he believed it. And I think that's what he's trying to get us to accept as well, is you have to believe it and then rely on that belief and trust. Mm-hmm. But the hard part, I got to say, as I'm saying this out loud, the hard part is there's some sicknesses that you don't get cured from, or some people don't get cured from. And I don't know, it's hard to think about how do you get so worked up about it that you believe you're going to cast it out, and yet it doesn't go away and it still remains and you still have faith. So I don't know. I think it's a balance.
Yeah, but I
it's a balance in our hearts, I think.
But I think that he was able to do some of these things within a day or overnight. We also know that some things take 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I mean, look at my testimony. You know, anybody walking around me may have felt handled terribly rough, not for real, but just like, you know, mental, you know, difficulties dealing with somebody who's walking around as a Christian in Christian churches, but not really living with the Holy Spirit inside them.
Yeah.
But then he goes on, you know, what you're talking about says, but I never gave in. It would dethrone a higher principle if I had to give in. It's really important to understand that stick to itness. There's another way of putting that, but you're just sticking to it and not giving in. Always
perseverance,
long suffering. Yes.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Danielle says, this reminds me of what Pastor Jack over at Calvary Cappuccino Hills was talking about Wednesday night. Some speak in tongues to edify themselves. Paul didn't speak in tongues publicly, but only in his personal prayer time.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's something we've learned in many of these devotionals in Corinthians, that the speaking in tongues is to edify the individual, and prophesying is to edify the church. So that's why you're not supposed to speak in tongues to a large body, because nobody's understanding it. And even when you do speak in tongues, if you have a translator, then it's acceptable. But if I'm not mistaken, there's even a limit on the number of people that could be in an audience, even when you have translation of tongues, because it's generally not considered edifying. It's not educational to the
congregation.
To the congregation.
You know, when he, and just to not leave this section, when he's talking about insane, is he using this to mean people that are just lost and not walking with God? Or is he talking about people with, you know,
because remember,
psychopaths.
Insane. I don't think that. I think modern day interpretation of psychopath is some like Jack the Ripper. Like we think of somebody completely demonic. But I think what he's referring to insane is people with mental illness that are schizophrenic, bipolar. Because just like any other sickness, those can also be cured by the Lord on recitation and healing and casting out demons. It's no different.
And I'm as a police officer in my area, there was what we would call an insane asylum, but it was where the mentally ill were kept. It was not like a
it wasn't an institution.
It wasn't fenced in with barbed wire type of place, but they had all these like two or three locked doors you had to go through, like Get Smart, you know.
It wasn't insane.
Yeah, but it was not as it's not like, you know, something you would see on television or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest necessarily. It was it looked like a hotel on the outside. Yes,
that's the criminal insane.
Yes, but just to make my point is that you'd get inside there because of something that they couldn't handle. Which was strange. Like, this isn't really our job. This is a medical issue in the case of these people, but they just couldn't handle it. So they needed, I guess, a couple men to come in there to help somebody. But man, when I would walk in there and I had to go like, I don't know how many calls, four or five calls, maybe more, where you, and I go, I get the call from the location was on the Palma Avenue and I hear the address. I go, I don't want to go there because it would like, I can't imagine he would be locked in with them. And yes. I go, I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible because it was just, I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I mean, they were doing weird, strange stuff as you're walking down the hallway, they'd be leaning in the car and they'd walk by them and it was, none of them were handcuffed, right? None of them were necessary. Like some would even be at a window and licking the window, all the typical things you would think of.
Yeah.
And like, gosh, I mean, what faith, if he's talking, that's why I was asking the question. What do you think, what level of insane person do you think he's talking about? Man, to be in that room with some of these people for even, the 45 minutes or hour that on a call that I was on was extremely challenging just to be there.
Wow.
But to be casting out demons or whatever, he was praying over them and all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine.
You think he still had the same reaction?
I don't know.
Because I think a lot of people, when before you have the spirit, you're afraid of what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody pointing a gun at you, you know what to do.
Yep.
And the severely mentally handicapped make people uncomfortable.
Yep. Me.
Yeah, so it's common. I worked with a lot of half of our profession was working with people that were insane. They were terrorists because they were crazy, you know.
I was going to say, and that's just in the offices of the FBI.
Yes. But it was fascinating because I was also in a spiritual discipline. It was fascinating to me just the way they thought. The thought process was often disjointed, but could be very complex.
Yeah.
Very intellectually complex, which I found fascinating.
Mm. I think part of my trouble with it is that I saw The Exorcist, and I'm not kidding, saw The Exorcist at 10 years of age, and it very much affected me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And many of these people were talking like Linda Blair, the actress did playing a role in the, blah, 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 you know, doing all those kinds of things. But
people possessed by demons do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I felt the evil in that place. It's my only real interaction with people that are that insane. You know, we don't often deal with that other than seeing a homeless person, maybe on the side of the road, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But getting past that feeling to be able to, disciple to somebody like that is, I don't know, I maybe is that a gift? If you're a disciple, I can disciple to most people that aren't insane. Okay. Is there another gift for being able to disciple to the insane? Is that an additional gift, do you think?
I don't know if you could disciple them, but once you get them past it, my understanding oftentimes is, like any other sickness, oftentimes it's a demonic attack, or it's a stronghold. It's a curse. So when you free the individual from that demonic attack or from that curse, that insanity should depart. So the question is, just like when somebody heals your back or your knee, when it's healed, you don't have that pain anymore. So it's same with mental illness, severe mental illness. It's usually the result of a demonic attack or a stronghold. So it shouldn't be hard. But the question is, a lot of people do not have, they don't have the gifting of casting out demons. And so being confronted with it, they run, or it makes them extremely uncomfortable. Right. When the Lord gives you the gifting of casting out demons, it does not intimidate you. It's the best way to describe it.
That's perfect. If you have any thoughts on this, if you've ever come across these situations, give us a little comment. Say, yeah, it was difficult, or it wasn't, or what maybe what you might have been going through and what scripture you ran through in your head at the time you were doing such things.
That's why I'm curious whether you'd still feel that way.
I don't know. Maybe we should go visit the place. I think it's still there.
Do you?
You wouldn't know it. You drive down La Palma, you would not know that it was there.
Oh.
Yeah, either in my very first call there, somebody like got me on white. We call it, I'm so sorry. We get on what's called white channel. White channel is car to car. And one of my buddies got me on white, and he goes, you know what that place is that you're going to? And I go, no. He goes, that's a mental health, you know, institution. And he goes, so have fun. He starts laughing. And I go, yeah, whatever. And I go in there, I go, oh no. I mean, it was, it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest times 10. If you've not seen the movie, then sorry, I don't know there any other reference. You want to go ahead and get into, we have very little scripture today, but we have 2 Corinthians 10:4.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
And I knew I could have probably, we already read this one, but for the weapons of war are not carnal. And then it has the little thing you click on, of the flesh.
Yes.
But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So what is it saying that, you know, when we go to war, it's not because of us, not because of what it is that we are fighting against as our flesh?
No.
But we're fighting for God's?
No, this is saying the weapons are, because it's part of a longer passage. People just cite this first line, but it's part of the passages where our warfare is spiritual. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not physical weapons. We fight in the spirit against the heavenly forces in the dark, in the dark realm. The dark forces in the heavenly realm. So for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Okay.
And so it's mighty for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus.
So much better that I'm with that knowledge. So it's just so funny that some of these, what seemingly now are simple passages, can throw me off with certain words because of the Christianese that's used in some of these passages. Now, 2 Corinthians, we're going over it. It's obviously, it's an entire book of 13 chapters. But I just want to read this part, and it talks about the main issues of the book include handling dissension within the church, false teachings, church leadership, and the unique dilemmas of Christians in the world. Other issues include questions of financial support for the church and the poor. Those are all so many of the issues that we have been talking about, and some of your articles have been about.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just really an important thing that we are going through currently, that so much of COVID, this thing that, you know, that has entered our world, especially here in particularly the United States, in the churches and schools, it has exposed the weaknesses and the weak people in the school system and in the churches, and namely some pastors and elders and all that kind of stuff. It's exposed them because they've been able to skate along. Hey, send us money. We're just going to make you feel good. Send us more money. We'll make you feel good. Send us more money. Make you feel good. But when it really comes to standing for God and standing for the truth of the Bible, they go, well, I'm not sure that we.
It exposed it to the world and to themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and I mean, because some of them have turned around and you really, it's impressive to hear them say, wow, you know, we closed our church and we felt it was the right thing to do. And then suddenly we felt like, no, this is not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And we need to do better and we need to stand up and we need to repent and we need to teach the Bible better. Like a lot of them found it to be a turning point for them, which was beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
I think that happened a lot at Friends Church too, because the way they talk about it, mm-hmm. They said, well, obviously we didn't do some things right because people are gone, basically, but they didn't finish the sentence.
Yes.
But they were just kind of like, we've decided we need to do things differently now, you know, which is awesome.
And I'm hoping that they did it because they've had an awakening.
Right.
As opposed to because they go, oh, shoot, we don't have as many people. We're not going to have as much money. Right.
I'd like to think they sound sincere.
I'm not talking about Friends Church. I'm gonna go with the idea that they're doing it because they had an awakening.
Right.
But, you know, others are looking like, oh my gosh, we used to have thousands of people. Now we have 10. Like,
wow.
There goes my paycheck. And that's not the reason to dive back into the Bible and begin to teach it. It's the awakening of understanding that
we could come from each other.
Yeah. You think so?
I mean, yeah. If you're terrified that your whole career is falling apart, it could lead to an awakening.
Yes. Like, right? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So
the difficulties of life, like, oh,
you're not coasting anymore. You just wake up and you're like, oh my God, I am broke.
Yes.
And our church is about to be repossessed. Could lead to a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. Wow. And then Romans 11:29.
For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And this language, the King James Version, is not as clear to me as the NIV version, which is for the gift, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Mm-hmm. Or the New Living Translation that says for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn, which I think better describes what that scripture means, which is, and because people often say that, like with somebody like Ravi Zacharias, like why did the Lord allow him to continue to preach? And he was still so prolific and managed to touch so many people's lives, even though he was engaged in such terrible sin. And it's because God doesn't operate like us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take his marbles and go home. Once he gave a believer something and gave them an anointing, he doesn't just retract it.
Right. What I'm gathering that from what you've talked about in Islam, God's gifts are revoked.
Not only are they revoked, absolutely. And they could not be given, they could be given and taken. Absolutely. Very different.
Yeah. Wow. That's another reason why to leave Islam and come to Christianity.
Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
Wow. There's one more down here, back to the devotional. Where's this last part here? I love the home part. I us having a blended family and a large family and with lots of stuff going on. I like this last paragraph. In your home with your spouse and children, you will have audacity of determination along with a righteousness indignation against the power of disease to cast it out. That is worth more to you than anything you can buy. I love that. I may have to clip that out and hang it on the bathroom mirror or something like that.
Next to the mushrooms. We're having a little water drippage problem in our home.
We will bring up almost anything, won't we?
Yes.
But what it makes
not me, roast beef though, just mushrooms.
You know what it makes me really think about is that, and this is, it can't be hard, but I work really hard to, you can have one child who is going through something, you know, let's say that, Rhett's having difficulties with school and some other stuff. And you as a parent, as a couple, as a team, is that we have to bounce from, a situation with one child of showing either care and understanding and love,
yes,
about what it is they're going through, and then quickly switch to the next child. It's like a police officer going from call to call to call. Like you go from, loving parent to now you have a child that does something wrong, and then you have to go to disciplinarian. And a little bit of an angry face, and then turn around and go back to the child who needs love and be able to switch
or those praise
things, or praise.
Right.
It's this constant thing. And what I love is the determination part, the audacity of determination. I've never heard those three words put together like that. I don't know why, but it's just the audacity of determination. Like you just
it's a good expression, audacity of determination.
And then, you can have a problem with a child, and then you got to go to your spouse now in one way or another.
Yep.
In love or in like, no, I don't want you doing that anymore. But being able to do it and not go overboard because the other child set you off.
Right.
I mean, this is constant balance. And with the Holy Spirit giving you a lot more strength. Without the Holy Spirit, without God, we can fall prey to this thing that happens in a household, right? Going from high to low.
Yes.
And the challenges of what's happening. To just spilt milk can either be like, we'll clean it up together. To what? I can't believe we just lose it it's the same situation. One day, not a big deal. Yeah. The next day, oh my God, it's the biggest deal of the day.
So true.
Right. Anything else that jumps out at you before we leave this devotional?
I think the thought for today is a twist that's not referred to above, but something he brought up in the past. No one can have a knowledge of the inward Christ without having a longing that there be an increase of souls saved. So again, the Lord's gifts and anointing on our lives is to be used for other people and not just for ourselves. It's not supposed to be a selfish gifting. It's for edifying and building up his church. And so it's important that we always remember that the power we have and the gifts that we have are not just to make our own lives better, but to make the world better.
Brian really wants you.
Yeah, I have a feeling he needs to make a deposit for the office.
Oh, okay. Do you need to take the call?
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm just going to finish off here if you wanted to answer that. Sorry, the phone, when somebody calls like two times, three times, that it's probably something pretty important. And so I didn't want you to miss that call. All right, my friends, it brings our devotional to the end here. And we, again, just want to remind you that we're on several different social media platforms. Of course, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, and now Rumble. I want to remind you that if you go to Rumble, which is the place where we probably will not be pulled off because of something that we have said, we will probably remain there. So it would be great if you would subscribe to all the locations, whatever your favorite one is. We're almost on all of them. I'm determined to get on LinkedIn pretty soon. So to be able to broadcast live, it's a process. And I've not been able to get over that process. So Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and now Rumble. In most of those cases, Rumble. If you type in a Living Fearless Devotional, it will come up and you'll be able to follow. The other place, and those are all the videos. If you want to watch or want to listen on a podcast, then you will go to Edify. Edify is a Christian podcast network of Christians who have different shows, and ours is on there, of course. And so I'm going to play this little bit of a commercial so you can find out how to get the app on your phone to do so.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. edifi.app.
All right, my friends, I just want to get to this one comment.
Hi, Jamie.
Jamie Michelle says, and she says, Hedia.
So true, 100%. He's shown me so many times this week that it's so much bigger than me. Thank God, right? Because I went to the grocery store this morning and I thought to myself, I just wanted to walk around the grocery store. Sometimes it's therapeutic. And I was just like, oh, I have to get out of my head sometimes, because when we get absorbed in either the routine of our own lives or the small trials, the tribulations of our own lives, it's weighty. And then when yes. but when you can put it in perspective of the entire world and what the world is going through and what your responsibilities to the kingdom are and everything else, it is so much, it's such a better perspective.
That's so good. Was the grocery store your go-to place for therapy or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Oh yeah, me too.
I prefer.
As you know.
Yes.
I would go 3 times a day.
I remember. And I think I kind of miss going to the grocery store just because I just feel like there's never any more time to just leisurely stroll in the grocery store. Well, because I got in a fight with my daughter in the car. It was already in the car. And so I was like, I just needed to just unwind, and I'm just walking around the grocery store and I'm like,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like retail therapy, except without the very expensive price tag. Cause you can end up going to the mall and spending hundreds of dollars. But the most you're going to blow in a grocery store is about $100. So it's pretty safe. And that's like, if you really go to town.
Yeah. As a single dad for something like 6 years, with 5 kids. I'm not sure. We've had this conversation a couple of times where you go, why are you going to the grocery store again? And I go, come on, we got to go. And that's where my kids aren't.
Yes.
And I love my kids. It's like the bathroom. Like, why do you spend so much time in the bathroom, Dad? Oh because, God. You know, I got reading to do. The grocery store has been my go-to place for just getting away from some of the shenanigans that are going on. One last thing I just wanted to talk about that I just heard today is that the supply chain crisis that we're going through, they're talking about closing down the schools because of the supply chain.
Because they don't have pencils?
They don't have equipment, but they also don't have food. For the kids, that they're not going to have food for the kids.
Well, you know, they just give us the EBT cards and then
they don't have don't have it at the grocery stores. I mean, they're talking, it's going to affect everything. That's what they're talking about. That's just the news that came out today.
We got to start stocking up again.
Yeah.
People are going to start to go crazy and stop toilet paper, the mad rush on. Oh, no, not again. Oh my God, folks, here we go.
So I thought I'd give you that great news that somehow, I mean, we're going to use the grocery store as our therapy, but there's going to be nothing on the shelves. No. That's what made me think about it, is that here we go. We're going to go and going, oh, there's nothing there, but I'm still going to go to the grocery store as our therapy.
I really get PTSD thinking about that.
All right, my friends, we love you guys. With all that good news that I just brought you.
Yeah. Why did you have to ruin our devotional like that?
I'm so sorry. It's okay. We have a fairly decent sized backyard. I'm gonna cut furrows in the backyard and plant. Uh-huh. We're gonna plant stuff. We're gonna plant Persian cucumbers.
Because everybody eats so many fruits and vegetables in this house.
Well, when there's nothing else to eat.
They will. Like they'll forage.
Yes.
Okay.
What do we do for chocolate? See, candy is probably gonna have to close down. I don't know if that stuff's made in California or in the United States or if it's made in China.
I think it's made in the United States.
You think so?
It's candy, for God's sakes.
I don't know. We may have to grow cocoa. What do they call it?
Cocoa
trees and make our own chocolate. Yeah, we're going to be, you know what? You didn't know when you married me that we were going to live off the land.
Well, I mean,
and have cows and goats in the backyard.
We were preparing for the zombie apocalypse.
That's right. But MREs, not growing it ourselves.
No.
All right, my friends, enough of that. All right, we love you guys. God bless. Read 2 Corinthians, all 13 chapters. That's your homework for today. And report back tomorrow with comments. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. We love you guys.
God bless. Have a beautiful day.
Take care.